Yes, good morning. And my title is Understanding Trade-offs Among Nitrogen Pathways When Comparing Benefits of In-Management Approaches, which is pretty broad. And when I put together the talk, I decided I needed to narrow it down. So what I'm going to be talking about today is trade-offs involved with manure injection. And I should recognize my co-authors are Alejandra Ponce de Leon, Emily Duncan, Doug Beagle, Heather Karsten, and Pete Kleinman from Penn State and USDA. And it's not one. There we go. And so I'm going to concentrate what I talked about today with shallow disk injection. Many of you may be familiar with the process, but just in case you aren't, I'll go through real quickly. There's our disk. So we have a big cutting disk. Cuts a slot, we pump the manure directly in, and then we have these closing wheels that put manure or soil back over the manure. We end up with then a pocket of manure about 4 inches, or whether it be about 10 centimeters deep. And because that's concentrated, we have conditions that are favorable for denitrification and the potential for higher nitrous oxide emissions. But we've also decreased our ammonia emissions greatly. And so when we kind of look at the balance of all the pros and cons that we want to consider with injection, you know, when we look on the one side of the state, we can get greatly reduced ammonia losses, so that can lead to increased nitrogen use efficiency. We can reduce our nitrogen and phosphorus losses with runoff. We can reduce odor, which is kind of a ancillary effect, which is actually very popular with the procedure. And we do this with limited soil disturbance so that this can remain compatible with no-till or very close to no-till, depending on what your local definitions are for no-till. The con is, as I said, we can increase denitrification and get more nitrous oxide, and in some cases could also get more leaching. Now, the leaching, we haven't seen it in our studies, most of them. Most of the folks in the literature haven't, but if you're injecting over tile drains or some other preferential flow pathways, then there can be that chance of increased leaching. Now, just going back to one of our earlier studies where we had the most comprehensive ammonia emissions, and the black bars are our broadcast application with no incorporation, and then the ones of interest here are our blue bars for the shallow disk injection. So we didn't get quite as good a performance the first year, but after that we're getting usually more than 90% reduction in ammonia losses with shallow disk injection. The first couple of years of that study, we also did a tillage incorporation, which we've long known, you know, will do a good job in reducing ammonia emissions. And we saw in that where we, here, these were cumulative emissions over 3 days. And the tillage was done an hour after application, so we get some pretty high ammonia emissions for an hour, and we tilled it in, and we lost it. So it shows that shallow disk can do as well as tillage, and it's got the benefit of doing it immediately, so you don't have that lag time, because it's hard for a farmer to get back within an hour or just chase the manure applicator with a tillage implement. And so our initial study, though, we didn't add in the nitrous oxide measurements. So we came back in the following study, and we've began looking at nitrous oxide emissions. Unfortunately, we had the low-tech stuff. We didn't have the open-path FTIR. We just used chambers. But we found that, yes, we were getting noticeable increases in nitrous oxide emissions for a pretty short period, only for about usually 2 to 3 weeks after application, and then we didn't see that effect anymore. And here's another year, and I should have said the last one was a drier year. This was a wetter year, so we had a little bit more up and down, but still the take-home message was more nitrous oxide with injection. Now, if you're changing your methods, you know, you shouldn't just change to injection, you're going to want to look at your total nitrogen management. So kind of what strategy would you use? Well, you know, if you're going out there and if you are nitrogen limited enough and conserving that nitrogen with reducing the ammonia emissions, getting gave you a yield increase and up, you know, increased uptake, then you probably don't have to do anything different. You're just taking advantage of it. In our cases, in our experiments, we never got a real big yield increase. So then we got to come down to our second option and think about ways that we might want to be reducing the inputs to utilize and compensate for that greater plant available nitrogen with, we have with injection. And so the strategy that we used in another one of our studies that's ongoing is to apply a moderate rate of manure both to broadcast and injected. And then we come back and we do PSNTs, and based on the results of our PSNT, then we side dress with urea. Well, when we've with the broadcast, the PSNT almost always tells us you're going to get a response from side dress. So we side dress the broadcast. We come down here with injection. Almost never do we need any more nitrogen, you know, based on our PSNTs. So short, we just eliminate that side dress operation with the injection. And so now when we've done that, we then can take another look at what it's doing, what's happening with our nitrous oxide. And here's from 2015, which was a pretty wet year. We had a really big emission of nitrous oxide from our injected in that year. Significant, but a one-time jump in N2O from the broadcast treatment. Well, again, as I said, we only needed, the PSNT told us we only needed to do broadcast for side dress. So out here we side dressed, and we did get some significant emissions of N2O when we side dressed, and then of course no side dress, so nothing for the injection. So we saved a little bit, a step where we saved a little bit of nitrous oxide, but you see it didn't really counter the bigger emission from the injection pre-plant. And this is just this year, so the same procedure, a little smaller emission with the drier year. But again, in here, this lot, we get a small rainfall and we got emissions from all the treatments. But then we came back after that and added the broadcast and got no measurable emission from our side dress. So it's just showing it's kind of hit or miss whether we're going to get N2O in the side dress. Certainly in the bigger picture, it's great if we can cut down that emission, or not emission, but that addition of nitrogen with our injection, but definitely isn't always cutting back on the application rate isn't necessarily saving us nitrous oxide. And so how do we weigh this balance? And one easy way we could take a first stab at it, to look at it, is just an agronomic basis. And these numbers are based on a dairy in Pennsylvania, or just a, you know, general number for dairy in Pennsylvania. So with injection, we're saving about 30 to 50 kilograms of N per acre, at least initial losses. But we're adding, you know, 1 to 2 or 1 to 3 kilograms of nitrogen lost directly in N2O is what we can measure. Now, assuming that is denitrification, there's probably going to be some additional amount of nitrogen lost due to complete denitrification to N2. So just making a kind of a simplistic assumption of 2 N2s for every N2O, you know, that bumps our loss of N2O from up to our loss of in from denitrification up to about 10 kgs. So really, bottom line, if you're just doing it on the basis of availability of nitrogen and the cost of the nitrogen, it says, you know, it's hands down, hey, go ahead and inject, that's going to save you money. But I'd say that that's an oversimplistic approach, because, you know, there's many other factors that come into weighing that balance. So you got to look at the bigger picture of the losses. And what we really have to have, you know, is that full cost of those gaseous emissions, both the N2O and the ammonia, to be able to balance them. We've got to know the full environmental and societal costs. And I'd hoped, when I put this in, I thought I'd dig into the economics literature and really find out what's going on and have a nice number. That didn't happen. That's very a difficult number to find, and it's very complex. So, you know, that part of the balance I don't have yet. And when we think about ammonia too, let's not just think about the amount of nitrogen we're losing to ammonia. You know, there's also the environmental cost of that, especially, you know, particulate matter, smog formation, and its effect on human health and respiratory ailments. Another issue that we have to think about, and we don't have real great numbers on, is the indirect N2O costs here. Because when we emit that ammonia, it's going to be redeposited, and it's going to be a source of nitrogen then that could be re-emitted as N2O. Conceptually, we know that. Again, I'm not finding great numbers on how much that happens in each of our systems. Another issue with that, too, is ammonia. The residence time of ammonia in the atmosphere, there's limitations on knowing what that is, so how long and where it's coming back down is also a question. So our conclusions on weighing this balance for nitrogen or ammonia, nitrogen and ammonia balance for manure injection is that injection clearly increases our nitrogen use efficiency. We've seen it, many people in the literature have seen that, but we're getting that improvement but still having some increases in N2O. Our group, when we weigh all of the benefits of nitrous oxide, when we weigh all of the benefits of injection, we think that overcomes somewhat of an increase in nitrous oxide emission. But again, we need this full cost of the gaseous emissions to be able to fully make that analysis. And just because injection has shown a lot of other benefits, we need to work on some procedures and designs of injectors that may help us cut down on those nitrous oxide emissions. And with that, thank you. And if I've left any time, I can take a question or two. Yes.
Would you consider the nitrification inhibitors with injection of the ammonia?
Yeah, that was one of the items that if I would have had more time, I would have suggested in that last bullet. And it's been tried. We've tried a little bit. I didn't have real good success, but it was on a very well-drained soil that I saw hardly any nitrous oxide emissions. But there are some folks out there that have been looking at some of the inhibitors and with, I think, varying results. Russ? Yeah, that's in. Yeah, a little bit, or it seemed like life cycle analysis, and some of the models would do that. But some of these numbers, I don't know if we have good enough inputs for the models yet. But yeah, that would be one approach to look at. Thought about that, but yes.